You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back. On this week's episode, we're covering Unit 26, Session 2, Jesus Was Questioned. And this is some text taken from Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 20. So if you listened last week to Jesus' triumphal entry, that was in four Gospels, and we talked briefly about how important that is. This one's in three, the three Synoptic Gospels. So again, it's still kind of a clue that this is pretty important. And so what in the world, again, usually we're on the nose with these, Karen. Usually we're like, hey, Jesus was crucified. What's that about? Well, he was crucified. This one, though, it's a little bit more nebulous. So what do we have in mind with this session?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're in the final days of Jesus's life before he went to the cross. And so that tension between him and the religious leaders is just super heightened. You know, it's at its pinnacle. So they made several attempts to try to trick Jesus, trying to find grounds to arrest him. So asking him questions about paying taxes to Rome, the resurrection, primary commands. And then Jesus turns it back on them and tests them with asking them about David's use of the term Christ. So,
yeah, so this is a really, I've always appreciated this passage. I shouldn't say always. For a long time, I appreciated this. I wasn't 2 years old appreciating it.
You were
in the womb. I was just really appreciating this. But yeah, for quite a while, I've really appreciated this just exchange back and forth. And this, the way they're presented, at least, it does seem, again, we have to remember the Gospels are compiled not in chronological order. They're compiled in the order where the writer is making a point. So Luke is driving toward a point, and everything he shares is true, of course. But chronology is not the important thing. So sometimes we read something, we ask, why are these together? Because they didn't happen chronologically, because again, there's a point underneath. These, though, there does seem to be a little bit of chronology. It does seem, the way it's written, it seems like it was a succession one after another. Either way, it's just fascinating whether it happened in actuality in chronological order like that day, or they're presented to us through the gospel writers this way. There's this point, this real, as you said, this, it's heightened attack mode. I think the religious leaders by this time have had their fill of Jesus, and we just need to bring him down, but they needed a reason, because he had a large following, because he fed people, he healed people. So if they just grabbed him off the streets, they were worried they'd have a riot. So they're trying to find anything. And so it seems like, you know, these guys are just standing on the side at just one after another, like, all right, I'll go have a run at him. I'll give him mine. And gotta go out there, all coy and smug. Well, Jesus, who should we pay taxes to? And Jesus puts him in his place, and they kind of retreat with their tail between their legs. And another guy's like, I'll take him. And just this fascinating encounter. So I hope for many of you teaching this probably is not one that is done in a lot of kids' ministry curriculums.
True, yeah.
So this is probably one of the first times your kids have had a chance to hear about this. So don't be afraid to give him that bigger picture, because I think it's powerful. Again, either it happened that way, or the writers put it that way for a reason. So don't be afraid to have a little bit of fun with this as well, and show, hey, let's look at what's happening here. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
So let's get into it. What are some areas that need some extra caution or prep time, Karen? What do you see in preschool and babies and toddlers?
Okay. Well, I was going to say that, you know, in preschool, there's really nothing out of the ordinary, which is surprising because, you know, we mentioned that this was a story that you typically don't see in kids' curriculum. So, but, you know, the preschool, I felt like we did a good job handling it. So, you know, there's several coin activities in preschool. There's one in toddlers. So, you know, with that, you're going to want to be careful about keeping hands washed, watching little ones closely to make sure they're not putting any coins in their mouths. So you want to watch the little guys closely. For babies and toddlers, they do have a fun activity of putting coins in a slot where you make the coins from lids from wide mouth jars, like the ones you use for canning. So you can cover those with gold paper. But, you know, I feel like I've seen actual you know, jar lids that are gold. So you may be able to just find gold ones, but you can take a shoebox, cut a slit in the top, and you'll want to reinforce that slit with duct tape just to make sure, you know, hands don't get little fingers get crushed in there. So just a couple fun little activities, but nothing too significant.
Well, I know in one activity in the younger kids called Tricky Questions, there's an activity that it kind of connects with the hard questions Jesus asked, which is a great activity. But one of the things it prompts you is invite a pastor or elder to help answer any of the questions that might be hard for you to answer. And that's fine. I do not want to diminish that at all. That is a good path, but I also want to give some people options as well. You might want to, if there's some of these questions that you don't have an answer to, research them together with your kids, especially if you're an older kids or older, younger kids. How can I say that differently? If your younger kids are at the upper end of whatever, however you define younger kids, you know, you can consider doing that together with them, or maybe even include families. Maybe encourage them to go home and say, hey, this is a great question. Ask your parents about this. Ask your families and see if you can research this together and come back next week and let us know what you all find. But again, you could always invite that pastor elder. It's a good opportunity for your kids to engage with the leadership in your church as well. So really good options. I don't think you'd be making a mistake, any of those, of course. But just think broadly. Speaking of thinking broadly, I would also say there are two, as we look at the content here of this session, I just wanted to kind of make sure you understood two big ideas. And the first one that you probably are familiar with, but just to be careful and make sure you are, what was in mind when Jesus was asked what the greatest command was about? What's going on there? And just, again, just to make sure that you as leaders understand this, in the Old Testament, there were 613 laws recorded, 613 various laws throughout the scripture.
Just a few.
Just a few. And I mean, they got into minutia. And I mean, that's just a lot of rules. And so you think about practically, there were times where two commands would seem to clash together. So for example, the Sabbath was a famous one because the Sabbath said you're supposed to rest completely on Saturday, the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work. Well, what happens if something happens where you feel like you have to work? One of the famous ones, you know, an animal falls in a ditch. It's work to get that animal out. Do you break the Sabbath rest to preserve the life of an animal? You know, so there's just there a lot of times there's tension. So what rabbis did was they tried to come up with systems by which they could weigh and evaluate what they would consider the heavy laws and the light laws. Heavy laws were the more important ones. Light laws were important, but not as important. And so in this context, a light law in general, you should take seriously and obey. But if there were ever a period of time where there's a conflict between two, and one was a heavy and one was a light, you would honor the heavy and not the light if you had to do one or the other. So it's a system of analyzing how you make sense of which laws matter the most. That's the context here by which Jesus is asked, what is the greatest command? Basically, this person is asking Jesus, what's your system? Now, you can understand the trick here, the angle, because there was a lot of dispute amongst rabbis about this. So had Jesus said something aligned with one rabbinical camp, it would have given that man ammunition to go at him from the other camp. And that would have immediately, had Jesus said, well, I'm with Camp A, Camp B listening that day would have said, whoa. And so immediately there would have been a big win for the religious leaders because they would immediately have a large group of people against Jesus so they could move forward with their plans to arrest him and do away with him. So that's the context. And of course, Jesus outsmarts them by saying, you know, command nobody can argue with, to love God. And then adds that second greatest command, unprovoked, loving your neighbor. And it says this fascinating thing for us that all the law hinges on those two. So it's a great reminder to us, everything we do should be tethered to loving God and loving others. So that's the first thing I just wanted to make sure everybody was familiar with. The second one may be a little bit more obscure. So this one might be something where I can help a little bit more people rather than reminding them of probably what you knew before what I just said. But this one, when Jesus turns around and he asks the religious leaders, hey, who was the Messiah? Who did David say the Messiah would be? What really is at play here is the word Lord and what it meant, of course, and what it means. So what Jesus is trying to get them to see is this, that David called the Messiah Lord. Lord is a title of respect. You can think of it as, it can either be as simple as a sir kind of level respect. When we speak of Jesus being Lord, it carries with it deity as well. But even in the simple respect, sir, just kind of substitute a sir for our thinking. Why would David call his descendant sir? Respect doesn't flow that way. It does not flow from the ancestor to the descendant. It's the other way around. So, for example, my kids do not call them sir. They call me sir, right? Respect goes up, not down. And this is Jesus's point. Why would David call his descendant sir? It should go the other way around. And the reason, of course, is because this descendant would not be normal. This descendant would deserve respect because he would be more than just a normal descendant. He would be, the Messiah would be deity as well. So that's kind of what's going on. I just wanted to make sure that our leaders understood those things. If you're still not crystal clear on those things, even though we don't drive into them deeply in the session content, you always have to be ready for a kid to ask these things. And I'm happy when kids ask these things.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But as a leader, you just want to make sure you're aware of them. And some of you leaders, you may want to bring this up and go that extra step. But if you do need a little bit more clarity, I always encourage you, have some good resources at your disposal. A good study Bible, is priceless. I'm a big fan of the CSB Study Bible, not just because it's CSB and I work for Lifeway. I do love the CSB, and I do love the CSB Study Bible. I think it does a great job of providing really helpful commentary notes at the bottom. Karen, I don't know about you, but yeah. I've used study Bibles before where it's like, who are you writing this to? These notes, I don't care what kind of parchment it was written on. That doesn't help me.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say, I'm so glad that you unpacked this because I did go to my study Bible to remind myself what this was about. But yeah, it is funny. Sometimes like you'll go to the study Bible hoping to find an answer and it's like they totally didn't even address it. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always good. Make sure you have a decent library at your disposal, a good study Bible, a commentary or two if possible, and just keep adding it. If you don't have a good library now, it's never too late to start building one.
And make sure reliable resources at that.
Yes. So let's talk about what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session. Karen, why don't you share first?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, just thinking about it, I think it's probably a good lesson for all of us to learn at an early age that we can't trick Jesus. I think sometimes we think, he's not going to know what's going on in our heart or our mind. But, he knows all the, dirty, nitty gritty, dark places. And, we can be honest with him in our, our prayer and interaction. But two, I just want kids to learn, that the Christian faith is centered around love, as Jesus shows that in his response about the greatest commandment. We love God first, then we love others second. And, the whole reason that we're even saved is because God first loved us. And, our culture is just very toxic. And there are many people who claim to know Christ, but they show just an astounding lack of love for others. And so, my hope is that this next generation would be believers who will be known by their love. So, yeah, that'd be amazing to see that.
Yeah, and if you spend any time on the Twitters, you would yes. see what Karen is talking about.
Exactly.
For me, and it's interesting, Karen, as we were looking at last week's session on Jesus' triumphal entry, and we talked about how the people did not have a proper view of Jesus and how important that is. And then today in this session, you can kind of see the opposite, that we have to have a proper view of ourselves. As you were talking about being honest, we can't trick Jesus. And sometimes we try that. So it's interesting, these two back-to-back sessions give us an opportunity to talk about seeing who Jesus is for who he really is and seeing us for who we really are, and appreciating who Christ has made us in him. For me, as I think about this session, it's kind of similar to that. It's the amazing wisdom of Jesus on display here. I mean, it's just amazing how these are tricky questions. They're hard, difficult questions, thus the name of the session. And a lot of us, I think, in that we would have been stumped. We would have had those saying, I don't know, or we may have fallen in the trap and said, well, you should pay taxes to Rome. And they would have like, oh, see, we got you. I think we recognize our deficiency. Our wisdom is so poor and lacking. And then this reminds us of Jesus being just incredibly wise because he's all-knowing, because he's God. And so for me, this is an opportunity for us to also remind our kids the same God who knows everything and knew how to answer these tricky questions knows how to handle our difficult life situations. He's aware, he knows, he's got the best plan, he's good, therefore we can trust him. You know, we're recording this and we're still in the COVID time period. I was telling some people, I think they don't need to name it COVID-19. It needs to be called COVID Infinity because it feels like it's taking forever to get through this.
Yeah.
It feels like time has stood still. And so a lot of our kids are still wrestling with this by the time we hear this. It probably still going on. I pray it's not, but it probably still will be. So our kids need to be reminded of God is all-knowing. He's good. He knows what's going on. He knows COVID. It was not a surprise to him. And he's got a plan. He's got a good plan. And so this is an example of a session, rather, that can really help us to encourage our kids to trust, to cling to Jesus. So we hope that you have a good time with this session and can really help your kids in that level. So let's wrap it up there. I want to thank you for listening to today's leader training. If you found it helpful, we hope that you have as you prepare to teach your Gospel Project for kids and preschool content. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.